Good afternoon. That's Week. I'm an elementary principal. Good afternoon. Hey, there we go. Let's fire it up a little bit. We can have a little bit of fun. First off, I want to thank you guys for allowing us to come and talk. I am the principal at Longfellow 4515, and I'm also a storyteller, not like lies, but a storyteller, because granted, we're here and we're talking about funding and how all that works to affect change and support our students in providing equity. It's also important to understand that they're children. These are kids. These aren't data points. These aren't boundary decisions. This isn't an MCA score. These are children as well. And I really hold it true to my heart that we impact the future. Actually, we impact 100% of the future. So if we don't do a good job with what we do as good stewards of our community and of our state, we fail our kids. And I'm 100% supporter of that. So I want to kind of share our story a little bit. I have a few slides. And I know there will be a time for questions and answers a little bit later on here. Mr. Carlson will share some funding stuff, but I want to tell our story a little bit, if you will. And I believe there's a lot of power in pictures. Longfellow, we're a very diverse school. We're kind of located in the most economically impoverished area of our town, and our staff is very, very committed to our community. The coolest thing about it is you have to wait for someone to retire to get into our building, too. Because once you're there, you're there. And I will tell you, the calendar plays a crucial part of that, but it's the culture that you create within a calendar that keeps it running. I'm a big believer in culture. You can ask any of our staff members, if our culture isn't right, nothing's right. And our kids don't get what we can give them to our best. So I start with this story right here. And I won't share names. I'll share first name. That's Kieran on the right. And I was in a kindergarten classroom. This was probably in September. And kindergarten is having collaboration, and I cover classrooms while the teams meet for a while. And that young lady there had a fever. She went down once. She came back. I just don't feel right. She went out again. Well, I can't leave the classroom. So Kieran is about two doors down, and he's walking out of the bathroom. I'm like, hey, Kieran, can you make sure so-and-so gets there? Never even turns around. He just holds up a thumbs up, puts his arm around her, and walks. That, to me, is a culture. That tells me we're doing something right as a building because this is his house. And if you ask our kids whose house it is, they will tell you it's their house. And I think that right there captures who we are as a building. It also speaks volumes to the calendar, because a 4515 calendar, these kids grew up like brothers and sisters. And if you ask our fifth graders, they will tell you that. This is another example. These are fifth grade students all right here. We get the opportunity, I always like to say, in August, we're in session. This is new teacher orientation. There's about 70 new teachers that day, kind of learning all the bells and whistles. Here's how you do your stuff. Here's your contract, blah, 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 blah. But let's be real. Let's have our kids tell you what they need, too. So these are five Longfellow students, and they held court for over an hour with adults and talked about who they are as people, why it's important that you serve them, and what you can do for them, and also what you shouldn't do. I think that speaks volumes because our kids understand the power of that and why they should get up and talk about it. So here's some background for us. We are in our 24th year. Everybody says 4515, so innovative. It's not innovative, it's worldwide. It's innovative here. I had the opportunity a couple years ago to work down in Australia, in Sydney, because we got connected with the New South Wales curriculum director, and he's like, yeah, come work in our schools. I would applaud all of you guys, because what I learned is we're a couple years ahead of where they are. And they're 4515, and that's how they work. We are designed to support our student family population, excuse me. We moved 4515 24 years ago because of our neighborhood. There needed to be some stability within our neighborhood. At the time, there was an influx of refugees, a lot of migrant workers. They needed a home from home. And so everybody walked here. And what happened out of that is something really, really beautiful. I believe we have probably the strongest culture amongst our staff of anywhere. Our students and families are one with our staff. And what I'm really super excited to say is, last year we had the opportunity to present to our school board, because we opened a new school about 9 years ago when that happened. There was a redistricting of boundaries. And because of that, they made our school 100% choice. Well, 4515 became more popular, and it was all lottery. So we shifted all the way to a point where we were down to 27 students in our neighborhood coming to school. It's not why we were built. And I'd had this conversation. Luckily, I work with a very strong superintendent who believes in us, empowers us, and says, hey, come talk. So we presented the school board, and they listened to our story and our needs for our community around us, who sometimes doesn't have the voice. And the following board meeting unanimously voted to let us go back to be a neighborhood preference. And so we doubled the number of kids this year back from our neighborhood, which is cool, because now you see grandmas walking, you see aunties and uncles walking over, because people are working 3-4 different shifts. So I'm really proud of that fact. This is other stuff, because everybody wants to know, what does the data say? Data's data. Data fluctuates. We have strong plans. I feel good about where we're going with things. We actually had reverse gaps a few years back, which is something that's pretty cool. It's not the norm. Actually, the Minnesota Business Partnership recognized us, I think, back in 2011 from greater Minnesota school districts for that fact. If you interpret this, and I know everybody, some of you right now are data people, and I'm a data person too, and you're going, whoa, wait a minute though, look at this population right here. There's some cool stuff in here. So this is our NWEA. We rely on our NWEA a lot. MCAs is a one-time-a-year extravaganza. Our MCAs, our NWEAs that we do multiple times throughout the year. And we can break it down so deeply into the standards. We can look at conditional growth indexes of our kids, how much are we growing from year to year, and what are we doing to affect that. What's really cool is you see the majority of our scores are in that high average and high range. And that's for math. You will see, and I'll be the first to admit it, reading is one of our struggles. We've also been through about 4 different curriculums in 7 years. We've been through, I think we're on our 3rd curriculum director right now. It's constantly changing, but we're constantly trying to change and adapt and say, okay, what can we do a little bit differently? We still have a large population scoring high, but if you go back to our Hispanic population, you see, oh, there's some struggles there. Yep, there are. But this is what's powerful. This is our conditional growth indexes. So in other words, this takes from August of 2017 to August of 2018. At what rate is our Hispanic and Latino community growing in comparison to their peers? So you'll see over here in 2017, half of our students were performing at the low, which is that 0 to 20th percentile nationally in reading. Alarm should go off, right? Then you look over here, the red would be this year now. So in the last year, some efforts that we've done and how we're changing how we do our tiered model of instruction, what's happening? And what's cool is that's the norm across the board with all of our ethnicities. The other part of it, because I speak a lot about culture, is culture creates that too. Culture creates outcomes academically, but we are actually raising citizens too. We want these kids to know whenever they leave us, you owe the community, you owe service to everybody else around you as well. That's your job as a human being. We have a thing called our positive, you know, you've heard PBIS, that's been around for years. We've actually been running programs there for over 20 years. We have gold slips that kids get constantly. Our first quarter, we gave out 8,176 gold slips. That's in 9 weeks. We have 338 students. And then we had 24 detention referrals. Those are called green slips. So we have level ones and level twos. Level twos, hey, it's going into Skyward. Got to have some meetings. We got to do all that fun stuff. We had 2. And the really cool thing now, when you see detention referrals, I don't call home. The kids do, with whoever they had the conflict with. So our teachers, they don't say, well, I need my 30-minute contract time at lunch. Nope, that student had an issue with me. We got to rebuild that relationship. And we're going to come up with a plan together. But that's a culture too. And there is no disproportionality, which is something I'm very proud of. Kids know when they walk through the doors, they are somebody, and that's the way they will always be. Here's some other cool things that's going on in Rochester. I'm really excited about this work, and you're going to see some results of some of this too. Our school board adopted our new graduation profiles this past July, and we looked at it at Longfellow and said, you know what, this is who our kids are. And as a dad, I have a senior in high school. I have a senior, I have a sophomore, and I have a 7th grader, all in Rochester Public Schools. So I feel like I got skin in the game. I should be involved with this a little bit. Well, I looked at these, I go, those are pretty big words. If I'm a kindergartner, I know what an ethical contributor is. So we decided, we do a thing at Longfellow every Monday morning. We meet as a family. So the entire school meets in the gym. And one adult teaches the kids about character. I get the first one of the year. There's 36 of them, I get one. The whole purpose is the kids get to know every adult in the building. And our kids are also explicitly taught there is no hierarchy either. Our maintenance guy leads them, our bus drivers come in and lead them, The kids understand you're an adult, you deserve respect, and they know that we're there to serve them. That's part of the culture too. It ties back to 45-15 because you can be consistent with that. So we took this, our behavior team said, you know what, let's kind of find out where our kids are. Let's not teach it at all, this just came out, let's gauge them. So we went into fifth grade, this is about 3 weeks ago already, and we set up a survey and we said, hey, tell us what it means to be a critical thinker and give us an example of how you do it. And we did it with all of those. And we're thinking, okay, we're gonna find out we gotta teach a whole lot of vocabulary. Well, here are some results. We got 15 pages of narratives from fifth graders. We have 60 fifth graders. They gave us 15 pages typed up feedback. And I will read these because I think these are important. So ethical contributors, this is what they said. I think this means that you're either helping someone or they are helping you. Now, me as a dad, if I know my senior leaves school and he has that about who he is as a core, we've done our job. I think this means that you're compassionate and if something isn't right, you can change it. That's pretty empowering. It means to me that an ethical contributor is a person that is strong with understanding feelings and changes in others' lives. Empathy, huge. Critical thinker, someone who puts good thinking into every single problem instead of just saying, blah, nobody needs this information and slacking off. They are 10 and 11, just heads up. It's a smart person and takes their time to figure things out even though it is very hard. Skillful communicator, I think this means that when you practice speaking and listening. Good at encouraging people like a general. That's why I like that one. And they were anonymous too, but I think I can pick out who said that one. An effective collaborator demonstrates flexibility, empathy, compassion, and cross-cultural skills when working with others towards a common purpose. That's a 10-year-old. Now, 45-15 is a calendar, but it's also a culture. This is what our kids think like. This is who they are too. I hear it all the time from our middle school principals, like we can tell a Longfellow student when they arrive. Because they stand up to people, they don't form cliques, they are somebody. They understand they're special, they're bright, they have purpose in this world, and they have a job in this world. So, that's where I stop, because he knows I'll talk for like 3 hours about Longfellow if he allows me to. So, I'll turn it over to John.
All right, thank you. I'm John Carlson, I'm the finance director for the district, and I'm not just the finance director, both of my boys go to Longfellow as well. And so of those detention referrals, I think our family counts for a couple of those because I've gotten a couple calls at the office this year so far. So you probably wanna know what's the funding differences. So basically transportation is offered anywhere within our district boundaries. So our buses go through the neighborhoods, they pick up kids. And you can go to the choice options or the district-wide options. You'll have transfer points along the way, but you're on the same buses with neighborhood kids schools. There are about 30 days during the school year where Longfellow is in session and the rest of the district is not. So we do have to run routes on those days, and the approximate annual cost of those routes is $70,000 to us. That's the total for the year. We were funding that out of the achievement and integration budget. We used that funding stream for a while until we could work that into our just regular general fund budget because we did start a Spanish immersion magnet program at one of our other elementary schools, so that's kind of taken the place in our achievement integration budget. The three-week intersession obviously offers a break for the staff and the students, but we do offer programming at the school during that time. And so we are funding that through private pay tuition, so school-age child care, my kids do go to that, and so that accounts for about $49,000 of the revenue to pay for that. We are, for kids that qualify, we are using extended time, so we're getting $7,000 of revenue there. And then starting last year, we've started using some of the new compensatory set-aside that we're needing to use. So we put about $27,000 of that into offering programming during this break. Oops. So I think at this point, we'll take questions. Principal gets to answer that one.
That's a good question. We were a Title I school all the way up until this year. You know, with the shifting in the boundaries that I discussed from the new school open 9 years ago, I would anticipate we'll be school-wide title within a year or two again. So we had access to community learning grants and things like that. We run programming, so we do our summer school during our three-week breaks. So 1 week out of each three-week breaks, there's classes from 9 to noon for fourth and fifth graders, and I actually teach that. And I think that's the best way you really want to affect change. You model it. So I teach fourth and fifth graders during the three-week breaks, and then we have another teacher that teaches second and third grade. And thankful to John and stuff, when we lost some of our title funding and some of our status, we lost funding to support some of that. We use the ALC dollars just like we do for our summer school. We do our summer school throughout the year. We do have a lot of students in need. For instance, so we lost our title funding this year. The difference in numbers between students from last year to this year is 3. But you lose all your funding. The need hasn't gone anywhere, and we understand that. And working with John and his team, they've been very good about helping us with compensatory to make sure some of our students do get to come still for free. With the programming, we do SAC, which is wraparound 6 to 6. We do have a program that runs 8 to 3:30 with those kids with me from 9 to noon, and then they do field trips and things like that. SAC used to be free everywhere. It's not now. Now it's funded, and that's where the privately funded parents are paying tuition to be there. Hope that answers the question. Okay. Yes?
How is that unique to your 4515, or could that kind of culture be developed in any school?
I think if you have the will, you can develop it anywhere. I was having a conversation actually before I came up here because we're looking at, you know, possible referendums, boundary changes, increasing our school size, and one of the options possibly is making us a 720 student section. We talked as a staff about it, and we had a stand-up meeting actually a week ago about this. And they said, wow, we're going to lose what we have. No, we're the adults. We will choose to lose what we have if we want to choose to do that, or you keep doing what we do. The calendar, if you ask our staff, they will never go off the calendar. They need a break. Our kids need a break from them. They need a break from me, too. They can tell you that, too. They say that a lot. Everybody needs their breaks, but if you come to Longfellow during our three-week break, by the third week, you will see every staff member in the building. They always say the first week, I do nothing. Nothing. They're volunteer at their kids' schools. I actually have one of our fifth grader teachers actually goes and subs at other buildings. So he can kind of get a vibe on things and see how things are too. But because of that, they feel rejuvenated constantly. So that affects the culture because everybody deserves a break. The other thing that affects the culture, and this is kind of funny, I think, because I've used this too. When you go to Wisconsin Dells in October and nobody's out of school, it's $99 a night, and you get on the hurricane at the Great Wolf or the Wilderness and you come right down, you get right back on it. You just keep going all day long. It affects the culture because people want to be there. And if you have staff that are 120% in, you can do anything you want. But our staff now has been there so long, they know the moms of the kids that are here because they went there. They know the dads, they know the grandparents. We have our own school garden and row crops and stuff. We have a grandfather who went to school at Longfellow, volunteered all of his excavators and dump trucks and came and dug it all out for us and put 86 tons of farmer's topsoil in because he believes in us. He's like, that was my home too. So I think that's cool. If you ask our kids, we do tons of chants. All you got to do, for instance, our kids walk in the door every day, door one, our front door, all kindergarten through third grade line up there. And they line up in two lines, and before they go in, our paras ask them whose house it is. And they shout out, it's our house. And they walk right in. I'm a big college football fan. That's where it came from. I'm from Alabama, by the way. Roll Tide. There's no Auburn fans here, are there? Because we can talk. We'll talk about Saturday a little bit later. Oh, I know we got a big one with Georgia Saturday. I'm already nervous. I'm sweaty. Oh.
We have one more question here.
We'll be fine. One more.
Steve Adams from Hopkins. Do you have any other schools in the district that are on this the same format?
No. About 3 years ago or so, there was a push in the community. Kind of our parent group led it a little bit, where we were wanting to expand, because I can tell you the majority of teachers want to be on this calendar. Hmm. They were wanting to expand. Change is hard in communities. It's a very traditional community, in my view, in some aspects. But I also think we have Mother Mayo there, too, and I think we need to be a lot more let's go get it done type situation. So it went to where they were thinking about going district-wide 4515. That didn't go so well. So we've got a lot of other things in the district, in our community, that stronger needs right now, I guess.
All right. Well, let's give a round of applause to our